Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange. This is episode 133, and today we're talking shop with Levi Fair. So thanks for being here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Levi Fair. I'll give myself a little introduction.
Yeah. And today we're talking about boosting morale. So specifically for the shop, we'll talk about how do you boost morale? How does morale work? And we'll go into a little bit about Levi and his role in that. So, yeah, Levi.
I am the maintenance manager for the Hudson location, Hudson shop. I was in the Shanahan shop previously, and to kind of back up a little bit, I've been here for about 5.5 years now.
You spent some time at Shanahan, and now you're at the Hudson Terminal.
Yes.
So the HQ.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So exactly. A little experience of both. That's pretty vital.
Yeah, two kind of different areas. One, you've got a little bit, you've got less people, a little bit less oversight. And then coming down here, we've got a lot more people, drivers, management, and then you've got all of operations. And so it's just a little bit different ballgame, if you will. So originally I was a trailer tech.
So how'd you get interested in being a trailer tech? Like what made you want to go into mechanics? And
So I guess for the longest time, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I liked automotive, I liked cars, and then my friends kind of got me into the diesel field, the diesel industry, as far as looking at big trucks, if you will, and all that stuff. And then I finally kind of pulled the trigger on going to school at UTI. That was kind of my first step.
And UTI, that's?
That's Universal Technical Institute. Okay. That's up in Lyle, Illinois.
Okay. So kind of up north a little bit.
Yep. By, what's the place? Well, there's Lyle and I can't recall exactly what the town is.
Yeah. So you pulled the trigger. And you went to school there. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did. I think the biggest thing it did for me is kind of put some of the pieces together. Like I had the stuff that I had interest in, and then it kind of helped put through how does these systems actually work in the first place. So it built a lot of interest. I enjoyed school to an extent, but I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
This a really good learning experience and helping kind of understand how all that stuff works.
And this, you mean like
up in UTI for
up
training
in UTI, yeah.
And then, yeah, coming here, that kind of put it all into, I guess, a different perspective. Like you learn the stuff, the books, the teachers, and then you actually apply it and it's different. But it's been awesome.
Yeah. Like the engines are different, but similar, like,
they are, yeah. So I guess it's kind of in the learning environment, it's, you feel like, okay, this is me learning. This is my time to kind of drop the ball a little bit, if you will, and ask my questions. And then when you get into the workforce, it's like, okay, now it's time to apply this. And it's like, I do have to like remember everything that I've learned and try to apply it. And then obviously we're always still learning, but it's kind of action time, if you will, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of
happens. Really solidifies whatever you learned before.
Yeah.
So how did you get connected to Nussbaum?
Emilio Scott, kind of have to shout him out.
The one and only.
The one and only.
Knows everyone in Fairbury, apparently.
He's the guy from Fairbury, right? we went to school together, and I think it was 5 years. So we went to the same Prairie Central high school. And I guess he was always around kind of our friends. We had similar friends in the age group. And yeah, so I knew him for, I mean, quite a while now. And I can't remember if he saw something that I posted or if I had talked to him about it, saw him as a truck driver, maybe Nussbaum, and reached out to him, or he reached out to me. And he's like, yeah, I work at Nussbaum. I think they've got some openings in that position. So went, I applied, and I got the job, I guess, if you will.
And started off on the trailer side and then worked your way to being a You're working on engines and
So yeah, it was for about a year and a half. I was working on trailers here in Hudson with Ben. Mm-hmm. He was my manager, if you will. And then I had the opportunity to go up to Shanahan and kind of start that area. Mm-hmm. We had just kind of reached out. It was a good location for the shop perspective to get traffic from 80 as well as 55 up and down. And so they decided to start a shop up there, and I raised my hand to try that, I guess. And very nervous about it all, I think, from the beginning, but knew that it was a good growth opportunity.
Yeah. So. And that was just a building that we leased out there, and we still lease out, right?
Yep. Still have that.
Started off kind of as a more hole in the wall, like operation wise, and but really kind of grown, and now we have a lounge, driver lounge, and
We started off with doing primarily trailer work. We had a bit of a lounge, and I think they did a little bit to spruce up the place. But yeah, it was. We didn't really have any, like, the part situation figure out, the operational systems figured out as far as how everything would work. And we kind of trial by fire tested it, went with the things that did work, and then just slowly built it. And then we got Larry. He came off the road and he went up to Shanahan. And then we got Luke. And then it kind of from there just snowballed.
It's awesome.
As it is today. So,
yeah. And now you have some service riders at Shanahan. And also some technicians. It's a good group of people.
It's awesome. The environment up there is really awesome. And I think the biggest thing is we feed off the drivers, right? They're our main contacts from the rest of Newspalm. Like, yes, we talk in between shops. Techs will talk in between each other, but the drivers are kind of the major link there.
That's special. And you know, talking about a satellite facility, it's like it's a good topic. And with boosting morale, how do you feel connected? And what if we add another facility or even after hours? They have the same struggle where it's like you're not on site here, you're at a different site. So how do you still get aligned with the same causes?
So I think one thing that we tried is first having some sort of connection with the people down here at the main terminal. We rely on them to spread a lot of the Newspalm culture as well as the drivers. But once you kind of have that feeling and you have an individual that is kind of come from that background or really feels heavily in that background, pouring into that person to kind of influence everyone else, as well as like changing the environment. So one thing we did is we had our mission statement and all of those items kind of posted up in the tech lounge, the driver lounge, and then just reinforcing that. So staying connected with the people here in the main terminal and trying to push that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Bringing that piece of the main terminal there.
Yes.
Yeah, changing the environment. That's awesome. So before we get too far into this, I wanted to ask an icebreaker question. And also, do you have any interest outside of work? What do you like to do besides?
So right now I'm very consumed with my house, but I do like riding four-wheelers, going to the Badlands, doing some outdoorsy stuff. Kayaking is fantastic. Love that. Kind of outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy guy.
Yeah.
Mackinac. Do you go down the Mackinac?
I don't think I've been down to the Mackinac. Sure. We've got a local river in Fairbury that we've
Oh, really? So. No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very fun.
Lots of good kayaking.
Yeah. Lots of good kayaking when the water's low. You know, it gets a little crazy sometimes, but a little bit of walking.
A little bit of Midwest Rapids.
Yeah. Midwest Rapids.
That's cool. So. And my icebreaker question is, if you could swap roles with anyone at Newspalm for a day, who would it be and why?
I think Doug Bradle.
Wow.
I'm very interested in kind of the operations side. And he's got a unique position as far as the operations for the trucking company side and then the shop side as well. And there's a lot of stuff that kind of links them together. But I really don't have any operational experience as far as DMs and people like that. And I think that would be very interesting to see and understand and see their perspective versus the shop's perspective, right? And I guess it's a little bit of a segue to another thing, but you kind of have to understand where the other person's coming from sometimes. So when you're working, you've got your stuff that you know. Okay, now the people that you work with, do you know their perspective and their workload and stuff?
So. Yeah, so swapping would mean everything. You have to swap for his lunch, for his desk, you know.
Oh, interesting. Well, I didn't even think about all that stuff.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's nice office. Cool.
And I guess swapping, he would be in my position then.
Yeah.
Huh. And I don't know if I, that would make me maybe a little bit nervous. He'd be giving me pointers after we swap back, probably, if I had to guess. Yeah. But
I don't know. Cool. I'm sure he'd be gracious in that. So that's cool. So getting into the meat and potatoes of what we're talking about is, so we want to give people understanding of the mission of the shop. And this is something that you've been working on. Shop talk, boosting morale. How do you do that? And also just for people listening to understand how morale works. So whether or not you're in, you know, maintenance, that you would be able to get something from this episode. So,
yeah.
We all want to be influencers, right? Like you want to influence the people around you, right? But also personally, like I want to influence the people listening to this, and you want to influence a friend or maybe it's a sales call. So we all have these areas. So this is a very relevant topic to anyone listening, that we want to be influencers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that influencer, being an influence, isn't immediately a negative connotation because there's good influence and there's bad influence. Yeah. And I think having perspective of that is also really good. We obviously always want to use influence as a good thing, influence the good behaviors. And like Nussbaum as a whole, you see that, right? The way that we pour so much into our employees and our people and our drivers, and that is the good influence. And so that's kind of the stuff that I want to talk about a little bit today. Dig right into it.
Yeah, let's dig into it. So I guess to start, how do we go about improving morale? What are some of those key elements that we can start put to work? And also, how do you tell if morale is low? How do you know if things aren't going well?
So I made a list of three things that I've thought about this topic quite a bit. I care a lot about it, and it is a very important thing to me. So I kind of had three things to, well, first to find out how your morale is doing. You've got to pay attention to it, right? You've got to pay attention to any negativity that's happening. Pay attention to people's reactions to things, the overall feel. Like you'll have a gut feeling when you think something, okay, there's a little improvement to happen. The happiness of people. And then kind of the key indicators to like, or the key items to kind of focus on is people need to be held accountable. And that's a really strong thing. But they kind of need to know where boundaries are in the first place. In applying it to kind of everything, you have to, as a leader and influencer, have those kind of boundaries laid out, or what your expectations are. And then from there, you can better align and know exactly kind of where you want to head in the direction. But then the other thing is seeing the negativity and documenting some of those things. Using your expectations to see, is this something that I would see as it being negative, or is this a positive thing? And then the third thing is making yourself available to support. Everyone needs the support. Even if they're really good at their job, they know what they're doing most of the time, they still need to see that you're there and willing to go the extra mile for them. And these three things are something that kind of spoke to me a little bit.
That's really cool. I have one thought about this too, and about making yourself available. And there's the book that you've been reading, Influencer by Joseph Grenny, I think the name of it. But so you've been reading this book, and it talks about how power does not mean you have influence. Like, just because you have power, but influence is something that's won on a trust-based mm-hmm. thing. It's that it goes deeper than just giving people rewards or incentives, mm-hmm. but the deepest amount of way to motivate someone is to have them trust you. Mm-hmm. And the way that you do that is getting on the same page with your beliefs and your values. And those, if you really connect on that, then you're able to help motivate people. And that's, in order to do that, you have to be with people. Mm-hmm. You have to be with the people that you would like to motivate.
Yeah. And I think the first chapter in that is something is like setting a realistic goal. Hmm. Something that, how do you initially influence that change? It's setting an attainable goal in a direct goal. And then from there you can kind of build, okay, this is the direction we want to go. And then how do we kind of influence that going forward?
It has to be something that it can be reached. Mm-hmm. So looking at what is it like today. So it has to be a clear plan. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you want to change, then you can't change it because there's no clear plan on how to do that.
Right.
So
it leads to confusion. And stuff.
Yeah. So looking for those pain points, those things that you would like to change. And that's really good. With this book, they have different ways that we are influenced. There's personal motivation, personal ability, social motivation, so harnessing peer pressure, or the strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. So if you're surrounded by other people that are doing this, then you're going to be more motivated to do it. For example, like if I'm struggling, I'm depressed, I want to get more fit, then joining a fitness class would be a really good thing to help with that, because the other people around me, this is just the air that I'm breathing.
Yeah.
And so this is one of these ways. So we're influenced that way. Mm-hmm. We're influenced peer pressure, like you said, for good or bad. Like we can be influenced in a bad way too, but there is such thing as good peer pressure.
Yes.
So that's
100%.
Something that you can really play on in helping improve this environment of good peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like, kind of from the shop perspective, everyone goes, and as far as the techs, they go out and they work on their trucks, and they do their job, and they have the workload that they've got. And it's really about, okay, how can we kind of also bring them all together a little bit and talk to them, make sure everyone's kind of on the same page and provide that good influence, right? The person next to you, if they've got really good things to talk about this one topic, then that's going to kind of spread, and kind of pulling that and making sure that we're all on the same page and we're all like producing that positive, change.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about enforcing that change, enforcing those boundaries. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah. So it starts with like the expectations. And I guess from the shop perspective is the quality, positivity, efficiency. And those are kind of the rough outlines. This is something that we want to strive for. We're always going to need work in certain areas. And that's never like we've always got aspirations and goals for that, I guess. But yeah, then the boundary lines and knowing, okay, where do we need to fall within these? And then from there, you can kind of see, okay, what do we need to work on? So where are we falling outside of these boundaries? And how do we portray them in a positive way as well? Like, it doesn't have to be a negative boundary, but boundaries are a good thing. People need to kind of know where they stand, where they can push things, and where they're kind of need to be kind of pulled back in, if you will.
Yeah. It's something else with, so this book on influencing, so we talk about influencers, we think of social media influencers now,
yes.
But this happens in real life. We really influence people in that way. One of those elements too is creating a vision of the future. So helping someone see like, how can I grow as a person, and we have these intrinsic yes. ways that we're motivated, that we want to be a master of what we do, mm-hmm. that we want to be autonomous over our work. We want to feel like we have some control over mm-hmm. the things that I'm working on, and also that I have purpose. Like there's something bigger than, like the thing that I'm working on is connected to something bigger. Yes. And so I think if you tie into those intrinsic motivations, then mm-hmm. it really helps you, want to do good at your job or.
I think once again, from my perspective is, yes, we've got our kind of monotonous day-to-day stuff, but there's got to be that that seeing the personal growth and doing the training and investing in yourself, and also knowing that you're investing in something bigger mm-hmm. than you, right? Yeah. So like the company as a whole, things like conversation with drivers, like how do we give the drivers the best feeling that they can in the shop. Hmm. It's already a tough situation to have your truck broke down and you have to be down for a certain time. How do we put this in a way that this is at least the most comfortable area to be in that situation?
Yeah.
And then that kind of all feeds back into the company that way.
Yeah. And tying it back of thinking that, let's say there's this rattle in the engine. I'm mechanically challenged maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's this rattle in my engine and is really bothering me as a driver. So then for that to be fixed, it's like, wow, like that driver's so much more happy now.
Yes.
And in turn, they're going to go deliver a load to someone and someone's going to get a very valuable product from that load. And so you really improve the day of that driver who's going to influence the shipper they're talking mm-hmm. to. And these people are going to go home to their families and be able to spread that joy that they had and really coming, starting from being able to enjoy their equipment.
It's a really good starting point. And I think that's like the amazing thing about like the transportation industry and Nuspawn specifically is you have the ability to influence so far and so wide on these things. And it is a lot pertaining to the drivers. But the daily impacts that we have on the drivers, the way that we make them feel comfortable and the way that we handle situations or frustrations, like it has such a big impact on everyone else around us. And they don't take that for granted, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think when you see that and just whatever job you're doing, if you can tie it to the bigger purpose, then that's a one motivation that we can have. In addition to, we want to be good at what we do. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I want to feel like I'm growing as a person and both the job and both personally. So like if you can tap into that a little bit, it's like, hey, I know you want to grow in this. Here's some ways we can work towards that goal together. And so providing ways to up your skills. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you moved from a trailer tech to a diesel tech. And so there's a little bit of a skill jump, right, with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I like with the help of managers and stuff, creating kind of these goals and these development plans, if you will, for individuals. And I think that's a big part of the influence too, is giving something attainable, but kind of pushing them, right? Like, this is, you have the capabilities to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you feel that, then naturally that you want to do a good job at what you're doing. And, it's a great example. So, maintaining positivity. You want to talk about that for a little bit? So, what are ways that we can create that positive interaction on the shop floor? It's part of our mission statement, creating positive impacts with everyone we come in contact with. How do you do that?
So the way that I kind of look at it, I guess, is the figuring out kind of what qualifies as the negativity. But it's, in my experience, it's the initial reaction that we have to challenges in taking it in a constructive way and trying to have a positive outlook on it. Like, I know we're in a tough situation, or I know this kind of got dealt and it's not ideal, but looking at it in like, okay, well, this is an opportunity to, you know, learn from either a mistake or a change, or, hey, I got through an audible, like, how do I go about making the best out of this situation? Mm-hmm. And that initial reaction to the not so great instance kind of shows a lot. And then from a manager perspective, kind of being there for the techs and showing that, once again, this is maybe not the best situation, but I'm there to support you. I'm there to help you. Like, you're not in this alone. We all have a stake in this, and showing that, okay, even when I may falter, I've got, you know, someone looking out for me. Right. And then,
so like building a sense of community almost.
Yeah.
Other people that have your back.
And that's, and that, I guess that's not just manager to employee, but it's also like your coworkers, right? Like you said about the gym, like you've got to have some sort of like, hey, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Build a camaraderie, and kind of maintain that. It's never going to be, you're always going to have tough days, right? You're always going to struggle through this, but it's okay. How can I reach out to other people, or how can I put myself in a position where I know that, okay, I'm maybe in a little bit of a negative state, but I can, you know, talk to someone about it, or, you know, get influence from other people.
When I was reading through some of this, one of the things I thought was interesting was a way to move from that negative state to more of something positive. Mm-hmm. If it's something undesirable, tie it with something that is desirable. So if I don't want to meal prep my food for the week, I tie it to something like, oh, I'm going to listen to my favorite podcast while I'm meal prepping. So if there's a way to make it fun while you're doing it, then that's another way to help it be something that you enjoy.
Maybe gamify some things.
Gamify it a little bit.
Yeah. Gotta have that.
Gotta have a little bit of fun and rewards, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I think, I mean, listening to your own music, like in the shop, like that's a fun thing about the job too. I feel like the music's always pumping and it's a good time.
You got to have the groove. You got to get in the groove for it.
Yeah. You know? You can customize your toolbox, make it the way you want it to be, like have that sense of autonomy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this is, you know, my stuff, like, you know.
Throw some Newsbomb stickers on it.
So throw some Newsbomb stickers on it. Yeah, you're good to go.
No, exactly. Yeah, and that also gives the ownership of it. Like, okay, this is me kind of doing my thing. And I guess the other thing is, it's interesting because in the diesel industry, when it comes to technician, everyone solves problems in their own way. There's never one right way to do it. And that, I know that's like, people take a lot of pride in that, especially like when you have the opportunity to kind of share that with someone else. Say like, hey, I figured it out this way. And maybe it's a little bit better of a way, or maybe it's similar, but it gives different outlooks. And so that's kind of another thing. That's why the camaraderie and the community aspect is so big, is we can feed and learn off each other too.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure you learn so much every day. Like you said, even from the mistakes, you can point that in a good direction and say, well, this is an opportunity to learn instead of being bummed. So what other ways are there to help work through that negativity?
I think...
And like you said, there's never... You're always going to have... You will have frustrations.
Yeah.
There's never going to be a day where it's like, that was a total bust. Or like, you're going to have stuff in the day that comes up that you don't enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So, how do you work through some of that?
I think, personally for me, I mean, sometimes it's, if you're on a tough job, it's more of just trying to get through the job. But my best way to do it is kind of prepare for that. So when you have that experience, or when something negative comes up, okay, well, we can look at it negatively, or we can kind of prepare for this in the future. So it's kind of the learning aspect. So mix that with the initial reaction of, okay, this, I've seen this once before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have that same negative reaction. It's going to be a tough one. It's never going to be great, but we can kind of work on that. Use the community for that a little bit as well.
I mean, that's how people get through tough workouts, is together. And it's like, well, I'm dying, but everyone else is here still doing it, so I guess I can keep going too.
Yeah.
It's like, there's tough stuff you got to do.
Yes.
So you have to get through it.
And I think, like, for me, I feel like I'm naturally a little bit more maybe optimistic or positive in a sense. And for me, I'm trying to use that too, and trying to push that. Like, when it gets, times get kind of rough, and everyone's down in the, you know, dumps, come out with, you know, personal affirmations like, yeah, man, you look great today. You know, give it a little bit, even if it's funny or even joking, making them smile, making them feel like, hey, you know, I'm here. I'm trying to make it a little bit more positive, a little bit more happy out here. And then, yeah, I guess the personal affirmation is another thing. So you have these goals that you want to set, and everyone wants to have goals that they want to reach and maintain. And it's kind of our job and the job of people around you to say, hey, you're doing a really good job right now. And that little bit of like, even when it's you're having a bit of a crappy day, it's, hey, at least I'm doing good here. I know someone's at least there. Like, I know you're not having fun with this, but you're killing it.
Yeah, you know, that means a lot. And we talked about that before this episode about recognition and how important it is to bring that aspect into.
Yeah.
What are ways you can recognize people and help them out?
I think it's when they're doing a good job, clearly. So you're saying, hey, this is something you took the initiative on this.
Yeah.
So it's something that maybe I didn't expect of you, but you went above and beyond on it.
And so you're pointing those things out specifically. Like you're saying that you did X really well.
Yes.
I think that's helpful to say.
Very intentional. Yeah. Make it intentional. It's easy to thank the group, but it means a lot when it's an individual.
To be like, oh, great job, guys. But to be like, hey, so-and-so, tell them. Mm-hmm. And personally, face-to-face, if you can.
Yes.
Instead of a message or email, hey, man, like tell them specifically face to face. And that could be a really powerful thing. It's like, they noticed that.
Yep.
That's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of taking your time to maybe not go out of your way, but, you know, add that to your schedule and make that very important for that person.
Yeah. Yeah. It is cool. Yeah. Definitely. I know when I receive that, I get so energized.
Yeah.
I feel like I can run around the room.
It's it is. It's like, all right, well, I got 3 days of positive energy, a couple weeks of positive energy. It is like, and it has to be kind of like a continual thing.
Yeah. It doesn't just happen once.
Yes. And I think one other aspect is we talked about boundaries a little bit. And when you have to make a correction, when you talk to someone, you're like, I didn't really appreciate that, or I didn't think that's goes with my values, it's then when you start to see that change, enforce that. Say, you're doing fantastic here. Like, I know we talked about this. It was a little bit of a tough conversation, but you're doing a really good job now. And this is like kind of the scene. And I understand you're trying to, you know, you're working on this right now. And it's similar to that affirmation of like, you're doing good. Like, I'm seeing the change that you're trying to make.
Yeah. That's cool.
Really helps.
Yeah. To affirm those things. So something that motivates a lot of people too is food. So do you work food into this at all? Like bring in jelly donuts or?
Yeah, we try to. I need to get better at making that step. I try and do some sort of donuts if I can. And I know my guys are going to call me out on this because I don't.
Hey, where are my donuts at?
I know. Yeah. But yes, it's the little food, and it's the thoughts of appreciation, you know, of like, here I'm showing you, I'm not just telling you, but I'm showing you that I appreciate you guys for you know, coming in today.
Show, not tell. Yes. Yeah, that's another good thing.
And
like we just talked about saying something's good, but then also
backing it up.
Backing it up.
And then same with like the food days. I mean, that's something that we should appreciate here is it goes a long way to kind of pull into that and show the appreciation in total.
Definitely.
Yeah.
People love food.
We love food.
Team building exercises. Do you do any of that? Team building activities?
Yes. They can be a little bit difficult, but I think the big thing is getting the group involved in those training exercises. So, when we do our yearly tech appreciation, we bring games into that and we do some sort of a little bit of team building. But I think putting a little focus on maybe having a job or a certain task that we want to do and giving it to two people, having them work together on it, bounce ideas off each other, specifically like Red Zone, give it to a couple people, say, hey, I want you guys to figure out a way to make this objective happen. But do it yourself and kind of work together on this and have that team building aspect of it. And I think it's something similar to the community part of it. Giving them a task to kind of work on together, I guess. That's at least my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so this past Shop Appreciation Day, everyone grilled their own steaks.
Yes.
That sounds pretty epic.
Yeah, that was awesome. I really liked that. Not only did I get to hang out with everyone and talk to everyone, but they all get to kind of do it together. And they've got a common goal, right? Don't burn your steak and make sure it's cooked enough. So it's... You kind of all work on that. And then we had the things like the tug of war that we did. That was super fun.
Yeah.
We try and keep making them as fair as we can every year.
Yeah.
But putting them on a team, getting them in there and kind of working, okay, how do I work with the person next to me to complete this?
Yeah.
Then we had Bago, which was super fun. So you and one other person on a team and played out a ton of games, had a couple of different brackets for it. That was really fun. We really enjoyed that too.
It's like a bag tournament?
Yep. Okay. Stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
It was fun.
Yeah, those things are one of my favorite team building activities was when I was in IT. We did Mountain Dew bracket, like March Madness type, where you try to do two different Mountain Dews, and we had over like 30 Mountain Dews of like all these different flavors, like from past years. I never knew there were so many.
I didn't either.
But that stuff's fun. It gives you that sense of togetherness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like to be able to come together and
it's good. Bounce ideas, and like everyone's got a different perspective on how to handle something, and it's very fun to see that how someone else would handle that.
Yeah, that's good. So something we talked about earlier was how do you feel connected with the rest of the Nussbaum when we talked about satellite facilities, after hours, Shanahan, what are ways that we can bring that connection together?
I think, so something that we did, up in Shanahan is we had, meetings over the phone. I had communication like with James a lot of times, but then we would try and do, bring the face-to-face aspect. So we had got cameras. I got a camera for myself up there, and then we'd have our meetings and we host meetings, via cam. So being able to see the person's reactions and actually have that visual, the sense of intimacy, right, with that. And then the drivers help a lot, having some sort of connection from the rest of the community. But then I was thinking about
it. Yeah, it's a lot of one-on-one connection, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's really cool that, you know, drivers can get that communication. Shanahan Shop connects you back to Nussbaum.
Yes.
Yeah. You were thinking about what?
Yeah, so I was thinking like a Facebook page, for instance, like a group that you have. So up in Shanahan, there's six techs up there. We could create some sort of social media group like that, have everyone in the group, and then you can bounce ideas, try and have that communication a little bit more. So items like that, where you make it intentional to bring everyone back together, things for after hours, individuals having days that maybe they come in or working around their schedule a little bit. So like, hey, we're going to host this event a little bit later during the day, so maybe we can catch a couple more people in here, bring them in when they're on their work schedule, if you will. So items like that where you're just trying to bring the in-person connection.
When you can.
Yeah.
And you said that the executive team also visits.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah. So they try and come up every couple of months. And I know we need to do a little bit better of inviting them in the first place so they don't feel like they have to, you know, take the first step. But yes, that helps a ton. And showing that they care about it, they really respect it, they come up. Brent always remembers their names, right? And so having that in person, and it's that little bit of that affirmation side of it too. But we have a fun time.
Yeah, super cool. Any closing comments as we wrap up this episode?
So I think just to kind of, I guess, reiterate some things that I'm trying to do for some of these is putting of, I guess, something that I've learned. I'm trying to put more of my attention on the people side of things.
That's awesome. And I remember you talking about this in our prep meeting. You said, my big thing now is putting my time all in the people.
Yeah.
And that's the heart of what you're trying to get to.
Yes.
I like that.
It's very easy to get lost in your work and your day-to-day and your emails. Your emails, for sure. But it's remembering, okay, if I'm trying to influence some change here, how do I influence the people that are going to influence the next group of people? Mm. And pouring into that and making sure that, okay, what they need is taken care of.
Yep.
I'm putting my time and energy into them.
Yep.
And then it kind of trickles down to that.
And you got to be around those people. You got to be available.
Yeah.
So walking the shop floor, you know, talking to people. Do you do one-on-ones or stuff
like
that?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. For my managers, we do one-on-ones. It's probably really good to get out on the shop floor and get with them. I'll try and make my rounds in the mornings and the afternoons. Have the one-on-one conversations and try and just open up the floor a little bit.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll say this in summary too. We talked about a lot of different things here, but recognizing people face to face, you know, if possible, be able to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And specifically that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot to people.
Being intentional with it.
Being intentional, and then focus on building trust.
Mm-hmm.
What are ways that people can trust me more? How can we get to know each other better? Mm-hmm. And how can you spend time with people? Any other things you'd like to include in that summary?
Yeah, I think trust is one of those things. It is earned, and you've got to work on it, and you've got to build it. And kind of like I was saying, putting into people and giving them that opportunity to start trusting you too. And overall, I mean, I want to work in a positive place. I'm going to try and keep up morale, and it makes everyone's job that much easier.
Yep.
And do it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're all more happy because of it.
Yeah.
Would you rather want to work at a place you hate or a place that you like?
Yeah, yep, exactly.
It's like probably the place that I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. A lot of stuff to think about. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Thanks for Levi for joining the day.
No, thank you, Dayton.
Episode of Shop Talk.
Yep.
And also Daniel on the audio and visual. Thank you for running that equipment. Until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.